Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Never Surprised in front by a length, now by a length and a half. Like the King runs in second. It's 2.5 lengths back to Public Sector, who's down at the hedge, and alongside is He's Pure Gold. Then comes Moe's and Founder, 3/4 in 1, 12 and 2, and they are in the stretch. Like the King, Never Surprised, Public Sector on the outside. Three of them across the track. He's Pure Gold is next in fourth. Never Surprised and Public Sector. And the two of them are right together as they come on for the finish. And it will be Public Sector to win the 114th running of the Saranac.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
To the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. It is Friday, October the 22nd. We have got 13 big races coming up this weekend from all over North America to get to. Dave, welcome to another exciting weekend of racing as we get closer and closer to this year's Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, the same to you, Bobby. Excited to be here, excited to go through this slate and try to make some money.
That is the key to everything, about making as much money as we can and hopefully ferreting out a few prices here and there or a few strong opinions as we get ready for another big weekend of racing around North America. Reminder, week 6 of the Belmont Fall racing season has arrived, and with it a feeling of the Del Mar Breeders' Cup quickly approaching. The 2021 Breeders' Cup World Championships comes in just 2 weeks, and Naira Betts is getting you ready. Simply apply promo code HRRN25 for a free $25 free play, as well as a $200 first deposit match. Once again, that promo code HRRN25, no spaces in there. You can't beat that, and as always, be sure to turn into America's Day at the Races, running on FS2 every afternoon, now through Sunday, where the team will provide live coverage of Belmont Park. The schedule this weekend for America's Day at the Races, by the way, tomorrow, FS2, 12:30 to 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Then on Sunday, a little bit of a mixed schedule, 12:30 to 2 on FS2, and then 2 to 5:30 over on FS1. Catch all the action of America's Day at the Races. Well, as usual, Belmont Park, or Naira as it will, has great stakes action on the weekend. They actually have 2 stakes on their Saturday card, and the first one goes as the 8th race tomorrow. It's the $200,000 Grade 3 Noble Damsel Stakes. These are fillies and mares going to go 1 mile on the turf. We've got a big field, Dave, of 10 set to go to post, and all the way out on the outside is the Chad Brown trainee, Tamahir, who's bidding for her second straight win.
Yeah, and Tamahir fits in this field. I think this is a really good field. I think it's a deep field. This is an exciting race and a good betting race. Tamahir and Shifty She, both of them I respect. Both of them are running well. Both of them are going to be on the lead. I think In a Hurry on the rail might be on the lead as well. I'm looking for something to come off the pace, and my strong opinion is on High Opinion, who cost me a very lucrative pick 5 at Saratoga on July 31st. I was really impressed by that win that day. Came back and ran a spectacular second, just losing a nose to Viadera in the Ballston Spa. I think it sets up nicely. I think Anthony Dutrow has this horse running really well. The works indicate High Opinion is still running at a very high level, and I think this is a nice spot.
Well, I agree with just about everything you said there, and the part that really sticks to me is that it looks like there's enough pace in here that somebody should be able to close. Now, whether or not we pick the right closer, that is another question altogether. You went with number 3, High Opinion, who I definitely think has a big chance in this spot. I'm going to go with a little bit of a screwball here, just to the inside of her. Number 2, Flower Point. She's 12-1 on the morning line for Shug McGahey and Jose Lezcano. Now, it looks like Luis Saez got off Flower Point to stick with number 3, High Opinion. He rode both of these fillies and mares last time out, second on High Opinion in the Grade 2 Ballston Spa. He won aboard Flower Point in a very tough optional claiming allowance race, and he's off of that winning mount to stick with High Opinion. However, Jose Lezcano rides the turf as well as just about anybody in this country, and I think Flower Point is another one who's going to get a right trip in here, and unlike some of the other ones, I think she's kind of moving forward. I think the best is yet to come for Flower Point. She's been basically an allowance caliber filly and mare during her career. The few times that she's tried stakes competition, she hasn't won. She's run okay, run, you know, midfield fifth, something like that, like she did in the license fee earlier this year, or in the Grade 3 Caress sprinting 5.5 furlongs two starts back. Now getting back to stakes competition, it looks like she's more of a sprinter than a router, but the fact is this is basically a one-turn mile at Belmont Park, so kind of an elongated sprint. I think Flower Point is another one who's going to come closing, and at 12-1, I just can't pass her up. I don't think she's a stick-out in this spot, but I think she's one of the ones, and at that price, I'm going to go with her. Flower Point, for me, high opinion for Dave in the Grade 3 Noble Damsel, the eighth race on tomorrow's Belmont Park card. Race 9 on the card at Belmont Park is the Grade 2 Hill Prince, $400,000 on the line. These are three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Another big field, 11 of them set to go to post, Dave. As we started the show, we heard John Imbrial's call of the Grade 3 Saranac, won by Public Sector, who's the morning line favorite at 5-2 in this race. Public Sector coming off back-to-back graded stakes wins. He won the Grade 2 Hall of Fame. He won the Grade 3 Saranac. He's never been worse than second in four starts on the Belmont turf. Does he make it three in a row?
He's got a big chance. Public Sector beat Never Surprised last time out. Both were bet very strongly, and they ran 1-2 in a competitive race, and they are post positions 9 and 10 here. The figs fit. They're running well. They like Belmont Park. They make sense. To the outside of them, Soldiers Rising is the horse I like best. Cutting back from a mile and a half, ran a really good second in the Jockey Club Derby Invitational at Belmont about a month ago. Before that, I thought ran a huge race, finishing second to State of Rest in the Saratoga Derby Invitational, a graded stakes race. Those were his first two races in America after running pretty competitively in France. But boy, the post position really, really concerns me. Six races run so far at the meet at Belmont at a mile and an eighth on the inner turf, and all six have been won by horses in the six stalls closest to the rail. Slicked Back number two for Brad Cox interests me a little bit coming out of that Jockey Club Derby Invitational. Ran third in that race. My pick is Soldier Rising on the extreme outside, but I'm going to fool around with Slicked Back. I think he's the best of the inside horses.
Well, I don't love the inside horses in this race, which obviously doesn't bode well if you're somebody who plays stats like what you mentioned there with how the inner turf has been playing, especially at a mile and an eighth. I think the race comes down to those three horses in the outside three stalls, number 9, Public Sector, the 10, Never Surprised, and number 11, Soldier Rising. I went to Soldier Rising on top simply because he's coming out of the longer races, and I think there will be an honest pace in the race. Never Surprised is never far from the lead. Original looks like he's got to go toward the front. It Can Be Done, another one who actually has been splitting time between routes and sprints, who I think can be close to the pace. Even Slicked Back, I don't think will be that far back. So I think horses like Public Sector and Soldier Rising will come running, and Soldier Rising coming out of those longer races, I think may have the best closing kick. Joel Rosario picks up the mount. Looks like Irad Ortiz sticking with Public Sector. He may have had a choice between Public Sector and Soldier Rising. I went to Soldier Rising as well, but I'm using numbers 9, 10, and 11 in the Grade 2 Hill Prince Race 9 on tomorrow's Belmont Park card. Let's go north of the border. We've got one big stake race up at Woodbine tomorrow. It's the Grade 3 Hendry Stakes. Fillies and mares here going to sprint 6.5 furlongs on the main track. Of course, a synthetic surface up at Woodbine. Field of six set to Dakota Post, Dave, and there are two of them who are going to take a bulk of the action. Number 2, Our Secret Agent, 8-5 on the morning line. Number 6, Amalfi Coast, is 9-5 on the line.
I just can't get past those two. I think they pretty much stick out in this short field of six. And the bottom line is Our Secret Agent has twice beaten Amalfi Coast recently. I think Our Secret Agent is running against a pinch better, and put the blinkers on. I trust Mark Cassie. That's the pick. It's not overwhelmingly interesting or profitable handicapping, but you have to take what's on the paper. Our secret agent, Amalfi Coast, look better than the other four. I like our secret agent a pinch better.
I agree with you. I don't think she stands out by any means, but I think she'll be in front of Amalfi Coast, and if she's in front of Amalfi Coast, she's going to be tough to beat. It looks to me like our secret agent, Mark Cassie, and owner Gary Barber have tried or tinkered with the chance of trying to turn her into a routing type of a filly. She's run 13 times in her career. I believe 11 of them were sprints, and 2 of them were routes. One of them, the one-turn mile in the Group 2 Nassau, or the Grade 2 Nassau at Woodmine, and then once going a mile and an eighth in the Grade 2 Canadian. She didn't run poorly in either of those races, but to be perfectly honest, she just doesn't have any kick in those longer races. When she sprints, she has a pretty good kick, and she's back to what I think is her best game tomorrow. So for me as well, number 2, our secret agent, Dave, and I both like her just a little bit in the Grade 3 Henry Stakes, Race 3 on the Saturday card at Woodbine. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some more Saturday action over at Keeneland and out at Santa Anita. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Join the Maryland Jockey Club for the 36th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day. Saturday, October 23rd at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races. Enjoy a full day of racing with on-track entertainment between races. It will be fun for all at Laurel Park. Saturday, October 23rd. First post, 11:30 a.m. The 36th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day.
World-class racing is back at Spectacular Santa Anita, and be sure to join us on Saturday as 3-year-olds and up go 1 mile on turf in the $70,000 Lure Stakes, and on Sunday, 2-year-old fillies go 6 furlongs on the main track in the $75,000 Anokia Stakes. With a resumption of racing at Golden Gate Fields, a pair of low takeout wagers, the $1 Golden Hour Pick 4 and the $5 Golden Hour Double are back through closing day October 31st. Bring the kids each weekend to enjoy pony rides, inflatable jumpers, face painting, and more in our infield family fun zone. Fun zone tickets are available online at santaanita.com or in person. Infield admission is just $5, which also covers parking and a racing program. Kids 17 and under are admitted free. And fans, join us each Friday as we offer free general admission and parking, along with $3 beers and $5 specialty cocktails to those 21 and over. First post time each day is at 1 o'clock.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Gray Lag. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
The Breeders' Cup runs here, coming November 5th and 6th, exclusively on HRRN. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Little Tootsie's winding up with a run from the back of the pack. Make Mischief cuts the corner off the turn, top of the stretch. Day out of the office, rolls off the turn and kicks away. Opens up to lead by 4. Little Tootsie trying to run up on the outside. Obligatory was last a quarter mile ago and is rallying to second now. Day out of the office in deep water as Obligatory is coming with a flying finish. Here comes Obligatory trying to run down Day out of the office, and she does. Obligatory last to first. Day out of the office was second. Make Mischief was third. and Super Sensational finished fourth.
Travis Stone on the call of this year's Grade 2 8 Bell Stakes, won by Obligatory, coming from the clouds and winning at a big price. She's one of the ones who's a big factor in tomorrow's Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts, Bobby Newman, and Dave Friedman on a Friday evening. Right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. Look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Equibase adds results charts featuring GPS data. Data shows traditional points of call and 16th mile intervals. Equibase, the thoroughbred industry's official database for racing information, announced October 22nd the addition of results charts that include data collected from global positioning satellite systems. Quote, after many years of evaluating GPS to deliver expanded data, Equibase is pleased to be successfully leveraging this technology for racing, said Sal Sinatra, president and chief operating officer for Equibase. GPS technology provides comprehensive data for each horse during the entire running of a race. We are excited to now be able to provide this rich data on the website. The new GPS charts are free for registered users of Equibase.com and can be found next to the traditional results charts for each track utilizing the automated tracking technology. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. There's no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more with the Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. BloodHorse.com, the industry's go-to site. Blood Horse Daily app, it's updated throughout the day with news, race results, and more. Or you can have the Blood Horse Daily delivered to you in email. It's free. Blood Horse Magazine, the industry's premier magazine and tablet, features stories, award-winning photojournalism, and the industry's top writer, and much, much more. Check it all out at BloodHorse.com. Once again, Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman on the October 22nd edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts. Dave, we've got some action out at Keeneland, as always, on a Saturday. They seem to have stakes races almost every day that they're running over at Keeneland, but they've got two on their big Saturday card tomorrow, and the first one is race number 7. It's the $150,000 Perryville Stakes. Three-year-olds sprinting 7 furlongs on the main track, field of 9 set to go to post, and it marks the return of an old friend, the Mark Cassie trainee Soup and Sandwich. The last time we saw Soup and Sandwich, he was running in the Kentucky Derby. He didn't do a whole lot of running in the Derby. He ran basically for about a half a mile, and then he threw out the white flag and finished far, far back. But he was certainly good before that.
Yeah. Soup and Sandwich was terrific, debuting in a state-bred race at Gulfstream Park in January, won by 7 lengths. Went to Tampa, won again easily. And in the Florida Derby, ran a solid, if not overly competitive, second to Known Agenda before the Kentucky Derby that you mentioned. This is one of those races where what I'm about to say is not what I want to say. I like Soup and Sandwich. I'm going to pick Soup and Sandwich. I just feel like this is a good spot. However, if you really look through the race, there's a lot of speed. And it sets up beautifully for number 5, Pickin' Time, for Kelly Breen, who ran second to Jackie's Warrior in the Gallant Bob at Parks last time out. Won in kind of uninspiring state-bred stakes race at Monmouth Park before that, was way back in the Haskell, and really finds a good spot here, and I think is going to sit a perfect trip for Corey Lannery. Sensibly, I think Pickin' Time should be my selection, but I'm going with Soup and Sandwich, and in any sort of horizontals, I'll have both of them.
Well, I think Soup and Sandwich is the horse to beat also. I think the horse he's got to beat is number 6, Pipeline, who looks like he's getting better and better with each and every start. He's another one who could enjoy a trip from just off the pace. He's shown speed in the past, but that was routing. He's more of a stalker, pace presser, and I think that's where he wants to be. The only thing that would keep me from playing Soup and Sandwich is the inside post. I just don't know what kind of a trip he's going to get there under Tyler Gaffalione. I'd love him to get a trip just in behind the speed that you mentioned. It looks like number two, Boca Boy, has got to go toward the lead. Maybe number seven, Irish Unity. Certainly number eight, Cool Quest, figures very, very fast. And if Soup and Sandwich can just break, let them go, sit down on the rail, pop out and go, I think he's going to be tough to beat. Problem I have with Soup and Sandwich with that inside post is it might force the hand of Tyler Gaffalione to either gun him early or suck back a little further than I really want him to be. So I think Soup and Sandwich is the horse I'm picking on top in this race. Well, I know I'm picking him on top. I would use numbers one and six. I don't love Soup and Sandwich for a win play just because of the post position. There's no doubt in my mind he'll be ready off the layoff. I trust Mark Cassie and his team to get this horse ready off the layoff. And frankly, Soup and Sandwich ran so well off the initial layoff, the first start of his career, it doesn't really concern me. So we're both going with number one, Soup and Sandwich, in the Perryville. Doesn't sound like either of us are super confident as far as using him as a single, though, in that race. Let's move on to the ninth race tomorrow at Keeneland, and it technically is their featured event. It's the Grade Two Raven Run. $250,000 on the line for the three-year-old fillies sprinting seven furlongs on the main track. We've got a big field of 13 set to go to post, Dave. And we heard in the rejoin, Obligatory coming from the clouds to win the Grade 2 Eight Bells at Churchill on Kentucky Derby weekend. She hasn't won since then. She's run a couple of good seconds behind some really nice fillies and Search Results and Clairiere. In fact, they've been trying to stretch her out more often than not. She's back sprinting seven furlongs. Does she have a much better chance tomorrow?
I mean, she ran a good one-turn mile at Belmont on June 5th and finished second to Search Results in the Eight Gorn. She won at seven furlongs in the Eight Bells. She's working really well. The daughter of Curlin has a big, big shot in here. But is kind of a deep closer, needs tempo to set her up absolutely in the mix. There are several others I like. I think this is a really fun race. At a price, number seven, Sela, I think is outstanding value. The horse just wins. 5-10 lifetime, 4-6 this year. Won a graded stakes last time out at Saratoga at 11-1. Before that, won a stakes race at Monmouth Park. Louisiana bred, won a state bred stakes race at Evangeline, and there's just nothing you can knock. The horse I actually picked here is the horse that Sela beat last time out, number three, Super Sensational. I think this is a recurring trend. I think this is the fifth race we've looked at and the third or fourth Mark Cassie runner I've selected. $725,000 daughter of Curlin. I thought she was spectacular at Belmont Park in the victory ride on July 10th, winning. Came back and ran in the Grade 1 test at Saratoga. Finished a well-beaten second to Bella Sophia. And then last time out, didn't have a perfect trip as the favorite against Sela, I think turns the tables here.
Well, it's becoming a broken record. I agree with you in this spot. I like Super Sensational, but maybe for a couple reasons that you didn't mention. One is, I think these fillies just take turns beating one another. There isn't one who stands head and shoulders above the rest. And you can see it just looking at Super Sensational's running lines. She lost to Sela last time out as the 9-5 favorite. She was beaten in that Eight Bells by Obligatory easily. She was five lengths behind Obligatory at the end, completely different running styles. I like her consistency. The thing that I'm most interested in with Super Sensational is the fact that she's 4-1 on the morning line. She was 9-5 against a field last time out, and now off that loss, she's 4-1. I think she's capable of better than what she showed last time out, and she's certainly going to be a better price. It might be a tougher field tomorrow than what she saw last time out in the Prioress. I don't know. But I think she's capable of better, and because you're going to get 4-1 or around 4-1, I'm going to try her again. So Dave and I both like number three, Super Sensational, in the Grade 2 Raven Run Race 9 tomorrow over at Keeneland. Let's head out west to the great race place in Santa Anita Park. And at Santa Anita Park, they've got the Lure going on Saturday. Race 7 is the Lure. How did you see this race, Dave?
I think there are two dirt horses running in this mile turf event. Number three, Shooter's Shoot, and number four, Lambeau. So I don't like either of their chances. I think there are two horses that just might not be of this stakes quality. Number two, Order and Law, and number five, W. Doobie. And that leaves you with Neptune Storm on the rail for Peter Miller and Flavian Prod, and Majestic Eagle, the six on the outside for Neil Drysdale and Mario Gutierrez. And Majestic Eagle doesn't win. 0 for 4 this year, 0 for 7 last year. Neptune Storm has beaten Majestic Eagle a couple of times recently. Neptune Storm is just the opposite. Loves to win. 7 career victories, 5 of 11 at the mile distance, 4 of 11 at Santa Anita. I just don't see any reason to play anything other than Neptune Storm. This is not only a play for me, and I understand that Neptune Storm is going to be 4-5 or something. This is a single.
Okay, so Neptune Storm, single for Dave, in the Lure, the seventh race Saturday at Santa Anita, 6-5 on the morning line, reunited with top jock Flavian Prod, who's the last rider to win aboard Neptune Storm. The one thing that I have a problem with Neptune Storm is the amount of speed in this race. There's no doubt in my mind that if he runs his race, he's the one to beat in this spot. And I'm not convinced that he's a horse that has to have the lead to win. He's shown in the past that he can run well without having the lead. I think he's better when he's on the lead than when he's stalking the pace. But that's why Flavian Prod gets paid the big money. But number two, Order and Law, is a horse who's got a lot of speed as well and is adding blinkers today. Shooter Shoot is a horse who has shown speed. Lambeau goes to the lead almost every time he goes to the races. WW has a horse who's gone to the lead many, many times. So the only one who I know is not going to the lead is number six, Majestic Eagle. And I think if Majestic Eagle runs his race, he can give Neptune Storm and these other horses all they can handle. Now, he's tried Neptune Storm a few times already in his career, and it has not worked out very well. But he was only about two lengths behind him in the Wicker out at Del Mar, where Neptune Storm had it all his own way, and Majestic Eagle was trying to close into a very slow pace, and he couldn't do it. He was only about a length and a quarter behind Neptune Storm in the Grade 3 American at Santa Anita over the summer. I think he's going to get the right trip in the Lure tomorrow. I'm going to try him one last time. Majestic Eagle, 5-1 on the morning line. I think the pace scenario just favors him. I'm going to take him to upset Neptune Storm and win the Lure out at Santa Anita. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to head back out east. It's Maryland Million Day tomorrow out at Laurel, and we'll take a look at some of their big action. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs October 31st through November 28th with the same strong purses we've had all year, and you are not going to want to miss it. Highlighted by the graded stakes such as the Grade 3 Chalukey, the Grade 2 Fall City, Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club, and the Grade 2 Goldenrod, along with the Grade 1 Clark, this November meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com. That's ChurchillDowns.com.
Join the Maryland Jockey Club for the 36th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day. Saturday, October 23rd at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races. Enjoy a full day of racing with on-track entertainment between races. It will be fun for all at Laurel Park. Saturday, October 23rd. First post, 11:30 a.m. The 36th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times at 12:55 Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:45 Eastern. Don't forget, on March 13th, we have the Grade 3 Maple Leaf Stakes for fillies and mares, and on the 14th, the Grade 2 Autumn Stakes for three-year-olds and up. With racing now through December 4th and plenty of weekend stakes, you are not going to want to miss out on the action at Woodbine. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit woodbine.com.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Top of the stretch, quarter of a mile left to go. Hello Beautiful with a six-length advantage through a half in 45.32. Toledo points are home, and Hello Beautiful responds, opening up seven, now eight lengths with a furlong left to run. Coconut Cake is hanging well there for second, and then Never Enough Time. Here's Hello Beautiful, seventh stakes score, and she's geared down. Hello Beautiful to win by nine in the line. Coconut Cake, then Never Enough Time, and Praise and Honor in a minute 9.56.
Dr. Dave, Dave Rodman on the call of the Weather Vane Stakes, run on September 28th over at Laurel, won very impressively by the heavy favorite Hello Beautiful, getting her ninth career win from 17 career tries. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman taking you through a lucky 13 spot of races this weekend around North America. And we're going to take a look at Hello Beautiful in our next segment. In fact, she's running in the Maryland Million Distaff. Of course, the Maryland Million has been a fixture at Laurel for now about 30 years. And it takes place once again tomorrow. Maryland Breds on display, and the seventh race tomorrow is the Maryland Million Distaff, $100,000 on the line for the fillies and mares, sprinting seven furlongs. Field of seven here, Dave. We heard there in the rejoin, number two, Hello Beautiful, getting her second straight stakes win, and I believe her seventh stakes win in all. Boy, if they leave her alone on the front end, she's double tough.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I consider you a good pace handicapper. Is anyone going with Hello Beautiful?
Well, the answer to that question is I don't think they can go with Hello Beautiful. Now, but yeah. You know what? I'm going to go first in this because it sounds like you're leading me to something. I picked Hello Beautiful on top. She's 2-5. You know, I'm not reinventing the wheel right there with Hello Beautiful. I would use number one Street Loot as well. Street Loot has never raced against Hello Beautiful, so you don't know how she's going to do against her. She's won five of her seven starts at Laurel. She's a filly who can come from off the pace. And if Hello Beautiful doesn't run her good race, I think Street Loot is going the right direction. Now, that being said, Hello Beautiful runs her good races more often than not, and those good races would beat this field very easily. But at the odds, I don't think she's just an absolute cinch in this spot. I think she's very likely to win. She's very likely to win and pay about 260 to do it. I'm going to use numbers 2 and 1 in my horizontal plays.
I agree that Hello Beautiful is totally obvious and the reasonable favorite. Standout figs. And if you don't think that anything can go with Hello Beautiful, Hello Beautiful is probably going to be in the winner's circle for a 10th time. If you ask me who is going to win the race, I would pick Hello Beautiful. But we're trying to make money. It's ROI. It's where is their value. And I've got some interest in Whispering Pines, number 4. If the 8-1 morning line holds up, I think maybe there's a little bit of value. Maybe you play underneath. Maybe you'd be creative in the way you use Whispering Pines. But four races on the Naira circuit, twice in the money, including a win at Belmont Park. I think those races are on par, if not better, than the stakes races Hello Beautiful has been running in Maryland. Now, Hello Beautiful might have controlling speed, and that's the end of that. But Whispering Pines is interesting to me. And at 8-1, I'm happy to make that pick and see if I can't turn $2 into 18.
Okay, so Dave and I both like the favorite Hello Beautiful. I like 2-1 in the race. Dave likes 2-4, using both of them in the Maryland Million Distaff race 7 tomorrow at Laurel. Skipping ahead to the ninth race on Laurel's card tomorrow, it's the Maryland Million Turf, $100,000 for the 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and 1/8 on the grass. Big field of 12. Well, actually, we're going to have a field of 10. There are three also eligible, so they're limiting it to a field of 10, Dave, and a wide open event in the turf.
It is wide open, and that's what I wrote at the top of my form. Don't take too low a price. Cannon's Roar on the rail, completely reasonable. Last two went off as, you know, or the last two races kind of has been close, but no cigar. And that's been kind of the case for Cannon Roar's career. Always posts good figs, competitive, doesn't win a ton, 0 for 5 this year. Number 5, Some Kind of Magician for Gary Contessa. 3 wins in the last 4, but 3 of those races are optional claiming events. The 6, Try for Gold. Again, solid races, some not so good races. Has beaten some horses in this field, has lost to some horses in this field. All of those make sense. The one I like best, oh boy, I'm not sure how we're going to say this. Nick Papa Giorgio, are you good with that pronunciation on the 8?
Well, first of all, it is Nick Papa Giorgio, and Nick Papa Giorgio was the fake ID name that Rusty Griswold used in the movie Vegas Vacation. Of course, Clark and Ellen Griswold's son, Rusty, they went to Vegas. He had a fake ID, and the name was Nick Papa Giorgio, and he was out at, I think he was out at strip clubs, and he was playing craps, and he was having all the fun that an underage kid has when they have a fake ID in Las Vegas.
That's a good reference you picked up on. Now that you say that, I remembered. I didn't pick up on it myself. The bottom line is Nick Papa Giorgio likes Laurel Park. 4 races, 2 wins, a 2nd and a 3rd. Nick Papa Giorgio likes a mile and an 8th on the turf. 2 wins in 3 lifetime tries. The last 4 races for Nick Papa Giorgio are all pretty good. Now, they've been run at 3 different tracks on 3 different surfaces, but in a race that to me says you can pick one of about 6 or 8 of them, 5-1 on the horse that likes the track and likes the distance, that's good enough.
Well, I agree with you. And by the way, this brings back a question that I have. How come the Griswold kids were different in every one of the vacation movies? The parents were the same. The kids were always different actors and actresses. I never understood that. I don't. Maybe they wouldn't pay the kids as well as they were paying Chevy Chase and I can't think of a beautiful actress's name who was Ellen Griswold off the top of my head. But anyway, I also picked number 8, Nick Papa Giorgio, and Beverly D'Angelo. Thanks to our producer Lee Della Pina. That's right, Beverly D'Angelo. Now she made it all the way through the vacation movies, just as Chevy Chase did. But the kids, you know, went from Anthony Michael Hall to the kid who was like Malachi in Children of the Corn or something like that, and whoever this kid was that played Nick Papa Giorgio in the Vegas Vacation movie. I picked Nick Papa Giorgio as well. I like what he's done at Laurel, and I think he's going to get the right trip in the Maryland Million Turf. Race 10 tomorrow at Laurel is the Maryland Million Sprint, 3-year-olds and up, going 6 furlongs on the main track. Purse here, once again, $100,000. And we've got a field of 9 with 3 also, in fact, a field of 8 with 4 also eligibles. That's interesting. A field of 8 limited for the Maryland Million Sprint. Where'd you end up?
Well, if the also eligibles are not in, I really like Double Crown for Tom Amos, coming from better racing, I think, at Gulfstream Park and running well, 1-for-1 at Laurel, likes this 6-furlong distance. At 9-to-5, I think Double Crown is terrific value. Now, if Jackson Traveler or Where She Told Me to Go get in the race, I think they're big players off the also eligible list, but I don't know that we can predict that there's going to be a scratch and one of them is going to get in. So for me, it's pretty obvious. I like Double Crown quite a bit more than the rest of the field.
So do I, and I think it's a gigantic trainer change here, moving to the Tom Amos barn. Simply put, goes from a trainer who's winning 9% to a trainer who's winning almost 20%. of the time and does well with these layoff types, I think Double Crown just lays over this field, especially if Jackson Traveler doesn't get in. So we both like Double Crown in the Maryland Brilliant Sprint Race 10 tomorrow at Laurel. Final Laurel race we're going to look at on the card is the 11th race, and it's the biggest event on Maryland Million Day. It is the Maryland Million Classic, $150,000 the purse for the three-year-olds and up, going a mile and one-eighth on the main track. It's another race where they're limiting to just eight horses, Dave, and that's a big difference because horse number eight, post position number eight, 6-5 on the morning line is Tap and Cat. The other horse who would probably take a lot of money is first on the also eligibles list, number nine, Cordmaker.
Yeah, this race looks just like the previous one to me. There are three horses I like. One of them is in the field currently, Tap and Cat, who I think towers over the other seven. The two also eligibles immediately outside of Tap and Cat, Cordmaker and Macklemore Avenue, both have interest to me. But again, we don't know that there's going to be a scratch in the race. That means you have to pick one of the eight. To me, Tap and Cat's last three races are all good enough to beat the other seven, and Tap and Cat has speed to be ahead of these. I don't see any of the seven horses passing.
I wish I could be smart and tell you I know why they're limiting these races to eight horses, but to be honest, I have no idea why the sprint would have a maximum of eight horses in it, why the classic would have a maximum of eight. Their main track races, you know, you see it sometimes on the turf, especially when they're able to move the inside rail out, you know, 10, 20, 25 feet at some points, and they just don't have room for that many horses. But on for a main track to limit to just eight runners and not being a half mile track, you know, it's not, they're not at Pomona, they're not at Timonium, something like that. It's very, very strange, but with limiting to eight runners, it really limits, you know, where you can go. And I agree. I think Tap and Cat is definitely the one to beat. The thing that intrigues me most about Tap and Cat is, yes, he's got speed and yes, he's faster than these, but he showed last time out, he doesn't absolutely have to clear the field to get the job done. And that's pretty good because there is a little bit of pace inside of him. Tap and Cat may be faster than them, maybe just be able to get out and go. But if he sits outside of his other rivals, I think Heavy and Toledo will be able to sit, wait, and then kick as they go into the far turn and go on with a Tap and Cat for both Dave and myself in the Maryland Million Classic, Race 11 tomorrow, Maryland Million Day at Laurel Park. That'll wrap up the Saturday action. We've got three stakes races to look at on Sunday's docket. We'll get back to those after this break. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Race to the finish line with Latruska. Latruska's 2021 campaign can be summed up in one word: brilliant. Having paired up back-to-back Grade 1 wins in the Apple Blossom and Ogden Phipps, Latruska set her sights on the Twin Spires of Churchill Downs. She would be sent off as the prohibitive favorite against five rivals in the Grade 2 Fleur-de-Lis, and the divisional leader would not disappoint.
Latruska switch leads right at the eighth pole. She's clear by six. Antoinette on Vuitton, Point d'Honneur, all chasing Latruska. Latruska looking good.
Her third consecutive win came in dominating fashion, leaving plenty in the tank for her trip to historic Saratoga, which would come 2 months later.
Hi, this is Fausto Gutierrez, Letruska's trainer. I credit Total Control Plus and Performance Builder for her success. It has made her a Grade 1 winner and put her at the top. She looks better every day and is not afraid of any competition. Thank you, Finish Line.
Letruska, fueled by Finish Line.
Join the Maryland Jockey Club for the 36th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day. Saturday, October 23rd at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races. Enjoy a full day of racing with on-track entertainment between races. It will be fun for all at Laurel Park. Saturday, October 23rd. First post, 11:30 a.m. The 36th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
They round the far turn. Tide of the Sea has the lead. Here's Temple. Let go for a run three wide under Irad Ortiz Jr. Doswell Hunch Racing Room. Succeed and Surpass is being outkicked as they swing for home. Mike Maker 1-2 with Temple under a full head of steam. Try to get Tide of the Sea. Doswell has to check an angle to their outside. Eighth of a mile to go. Tide of the Sea has something in the tank. He's digging in. Temple is right alongside, but Tide of the Sea has turned them away. Tide of the Sea went a mile and a half all the way.
Pete Aiello on the call of the Grade 3 W.L. McKnight, won by Tide of the Sea way back in January of this year. Tide of the Sea got his next win just last month, or actually this month, beginning of the month, in the Japan Turf Cup over at Laurel, and he will be one of the ones trying to win the point of entry Sunday at Belmont Park. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman taking you through 13 big stakes around North America this weekend's action. Reminder, week 6 of the Belmont Fall Racing Meet has arrived, and with it, a feeling of the Del Mar Breeders' Cup quickly approaching. The 2021 Breeders' Cup World Championships comes in just 2 weeks. Naira Betts is getting you ready. Simply apply the promo code HRRN25 for a $25 free play, as well as a $200 first deposit match. Once again, that code HRRN25, no spaces. You can't beat that, and as always, be sure to turn into America's Day at the Races. Running for the most part on FS2 every afternoon now through Sunday, where the team will provide live coverage of Belmont Park. And that's scheduled this weekend for America's Day at the Races. They will air on FS2 from 12:30 to 5:30 Eastern Time tomorrow, and then from 12:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday, and then at 2 p.m. switch over to FS1 for the coverage from 2 to 5:30 p.m. Once again, we've got three big races on Sunday to talk about, Dave, and we heard there the call of the Grade 3 W.L. McKnight, won in wire-to-wire fashion by the Mike Maker trainee Tide of the Sea. Big dry spell after that win, though. In fact, he lost six races in a row before finally finding his way back to the winner's circle last time out in the Japan Turf Cup over at Laurel, coming from just off the pace to win handily by almost two lengths. Luis Saez, who has ridden him in the past, reunited with the son of English Channel, and he's one of the ones in the point of entry, $100,000 on the line for the three-year-olds and up, going a mile and a half on the turf in the ninth race Sunday at Belmont.
It's a small field, but who isn't one of the ones? I think you can make an argument for the huge majority of this group. Mo Gotcha on the outside, going back to turf, a horse that I think we're both sort of fond of, has won races, maybe not at this level. I'm very interested to see what turf looks like. I really like the October 16th work on turf, but you're not convinced yet, having not seen a victory on the sod. Number one, Tide of the Sea, as you mentioned, just loves this mile and a half marathon distance, 3 for 6 all time. Sham Rocket, particularly fond of the sod at Belmont Park, 2 wins in 6 races, a second place finish, and 2 show efforts. I'm not 100% sure what I think the pace of the race is going to be, but I suspect there's going to be ample tempo with Mo Gotcha out there running, Tide of the Sea out there running. I'm not sure what to expect from Beacon Hill for Mike Matz, but I ended up with Shamrock, and I think he'll sit a good trip and be rolling late, and I'm hoping that the affinity for Belmont Park shows itself once more.
I agree with you. I think Sham Rocket's going to get the right trip. I usually don't like horses that come from as far back as he likes to come from, but there should be at least some pace in the race. Also like the fact that Javier Castellano is getting back aboard, and the last time this horse won was the last time Javier Castellano rode him. It was in a much softer field, in a other than allowance race back on June 11th at Belmont, when he was 6-5 and expected to win. But he did get the win. The horse he beat that day came back and won in his very next start. So I like that Javier's back aboard, and I think the pace scenario is right for Sham Rocket to continue his big efforts, as he just seems to always have when he sees that grass over at Belmont Park. Sham Rocket for both Dave and myself in the Point of Entry Stakes, Race 9 Sunday at Belmont Park. Let's jump over to Keeneland, Dave, and the featured race there on Sunday is the Grade 3 Rude and Riddle Dowager Stakes. Fillies and mares 3 and up, going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a big field of 10 going to post.
Yeah, it's an interesting race because it's very hard to figure out who's going to be on the lead and if there's going to be any sort of pace. I like a couple, and I'll certainly tell you who those are in just a moment, but do you see a horse that's going to go out and take the lead? Because if you go and take the lead, you could be way ahead here.
I think the most likely pace setter in the race would be number 9, Key Biscayne. And if he makes the lead, or rather if she makes the lead, it will be a reluctant lead, and it will not be a out by herself jogging along. I think this race is screaming for tight pack and sprint from the top of the turn home.
Well, if that's the case, La Lune, number 4, the British-bred daughter of Champs-Élysées, probably will feel very much at home because that's how they tend to run in Europe. Made her U.S. debut at Kentucky Downs a month ago. I thought she ran a big race, finishing second, beaten just a neck. Had been facing some good ones in Europe. Could be a little bit far back, might have work to do. I think we'll be rolling down the stretch and should like the mile and a half. I like Luck Money too, though, with kind of a similar trip off the pace and rolling late. I prefer those two. La Lune is my top choice, but I would be interested in someone that tries to steal this thing up front.
I just don't see it happening in this race, and I don't think it's funny when you handicap these races. It seems so obvious to say, boy, just get out in front of this field, and then that's it. You could probably jog around there, you know, if the turf was firm. By the way, the turf has not been firm any day thus far during the Keeneland meet, but if the turf is firm, you could probably just get around there and, you know, 6 furlongs and 13 and change and a mile and 137 or 38 and change, and nobody's bothering you at all, and then you're just going to be able to outsprint them home. But inevitably, when it looks like that's going to happen, either nobody goes to the lead or everybody goes to the lead. It's never just one. So I don't expect there to be an easy leader, you know. And even then, if somebody's in front of this field, let's say they're setting a slow pace and they're in front of this field by a length, you know, there's no guarantee that they can outfinish these other closers in the race. So it's really going to be who gets the right trip, who stays out of trouble. And when I'm looking for horses getting the right trip and staying out of trouble, and especially on the turf, one of the names I'm looking for is Joel Rosario. And he shows up on number 5, Luck Money, your second choice in the race. The last time he rode Luck Money, he won aboard Luck Money. And by the way, that was at Keeneland. She has been in the money both of her career starts at Keeneland. You know, she's not going to be that far off the pace. She's never shown the ability to go to the lead, or the aggressiveness to go to the lead. It doesn't mean that she can't be placed on the lead, but I expect Joel Rosario to be somewhere forwardly placed with this daughter of Looking at Lucky, who obviously likes Keeneland. Obviously, he's ridden well in the past. And her form right now is probably about as good as anyone else's. She finished behind La Lune last time out in that Kentucky Downs race. She was actually favored in that race, the slight favorite at 5-2, and was very wide in the race and just simply couldn't get there. It was only about, I'd say about a length behind La Lune that day. I think with Rosario aboard and the reverting back to a quote-unquote regular turf course as opposed to what they have over at Kentucky Downs. I think we might see a better effort from Luck Money on Sunday. I'm going to go with her. La Lune for Dave, Luck Money for me. Sunday at Keeneland, race 7, the Grade 3 Dowager Stakes for the fillies and mares, going a mile and a half on the turf. One last stake to look at way out west. It's the Enochia for the 2-year-old fillies at Santa Anita, race 8 on their Sunday card. A short but sweet field of 5, Dave. You know, none of these fillies, to me, look like they're on the verge of superstardom, but they're all so lightly raced, you just never know.
Well, that's exactly right. And you have several that cost a pretty penny, aside from number 3, Cadillac Margarita. Every other horse cost at least $200,000, which means somebody somewhere along the way thought they had some ability. It seems like the race goes through the one Eda or Edda or however you say Bob Baffert's horse on the rail, the $550,000 daughter of Munnings. The race 2 back in the Sorrento at Del Mar got a really, really big fig. Do you trust that?
I do. I thought that both of her first two efforts were very good, but that effort in the Sorrento, I do think was a big effort and far and away better than this field can handle.
Yeah, I mean, she returns to that, and she's going to be a winner. The other Bob Baffert entry, Benedict Canyon, number 4, has some interest to me. Debuted at Del Mar back in August, finished 3rd. The horse that won that race, Ain't Easy, came back to really easily win a Grade 2 event. And then Benedict Canyon broke the maiden at Del Mar on September 5th, beating Lady T, who returns to try Benedict Canyon a second time here. I like the 2 Baffert horses better. If you trust that fig from the Sorrento, it's got to be Eda. Otherwise, I think Benedict Canyon fits in here.
Yeah, I like Eda. I don't know what happened to her last time out in the Del Mar debutante, other than it was a much tougher field, and she was dueling on the lead through ridiculously fast fractions, 21-3 for the quarter, 44-1 for the half, and she just completely threw out the anchor around the far turn and down the stretch, surprisingly as the favorite in the race. She's still a maiden, and she's back in a stake race once again on Sunday. I think she's going to be tough to beat. I do find it a little bit funny that, this is a stake race, a black type race for a $75,000 purse at a big racetrack. You know, you have maiden races at places like Oaklawn Park or in New York or in Kentucky that run for more money than this stake race is offering at Santa Anita. But somebody's going to win it, and obviously a filly winning a stake race and getting black type is very important when it comes to breeding down the line. Eda for both Dave and myself in the Enochia Stakes, race 8 on the Sunday card at Santa Anita. 13 races in the books, Dave. It's time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
Take it away, Dave.
Well, I think the 2 horses at Laurel, if the also eligibles don't get in, are very, very likely winners. Double Crown in the Maryland Million Sprint and Tap and Cat in the Maryland Million Classic. But my best bet tomorrow is the very first race we discussed, the Noble Dancel at Belmont Park. I really like High Opinion. I think the price is going to be fair. Lots of pace in the race, should be coming hard, and I feel good about High Opinion, who has beaten me before but will not beat me tomorrow.
All right, so High Opinion for Dave is the best bet in the Grade 3 Noble Damsel tomorrow at Belmont Park, the 8th race. I'm going to go to the Maryland Million tomorrow and the Maryland Million Sprint. I just can't get past number 7, Double Crown. If you can get anywhere close to that morning line, which is another subject, but if you can get close to that 9-5 morning line on Double Crown, I think you should run to the windows.
Yep.
I think he's better than this field, and I love the barn change going to Tom Amos for the first time tomorrow. Double Crown for me in the Maryland Million Sprint, race 10 on that stacked card out at Laurel tomorrow afternoon. That'll wrap up today's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. A reminder, HRRN is not done this week, folks. The show that launched a network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, another big action-packed show tomorrow here on the network, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time. Our good friend Mike Penna, joined by trainers Kenny McPeak and Steve Asmussen as they talk about their Breeders' Cup contenders. Mike Pons from Country Life Farm discusses this year's Maryland Million. Sean Clancy goes in the room with Mr. 7000, Mario Pino, and a visit with Mike Bagley, president and CEO of Jellyfish Water, talking about his new company and his love of racing. Plus, Kurt Becker takes you on a stroll through racing history, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, and this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer, with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin. It's all on another power-packed edition of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, tomorrow and every Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern time. Well, Dave, we are getting very, very close, and it's one of those things where the Breeders' Cup is on us, where we're now in a countdown mode. Every day is simply, now we only have 13 days left, now we only have 12 days left. Where will you be for the Breeders' Cup this year, my friend?
Well, I'm gonna be in front of my TV. I'm gonna be watching and wagering and listening to you guys.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. We will, of course, have action all week here on the network. Jude Feld and I will be co-hosting Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by Hillendale Farms Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, where we'll have trainers, jockeys, all sorts of people involved in the Breeders' Cup on with us. Race day all week, the weekend stakes preview that week as well, and, of course, live coverage of this year's Breeders' Cup World Thoroughbred Championships, both Friday and Saturday, November 5th and 6th, live from Del Mar. On behalf of producer Lee Delapina, my co-host Dave Freeman, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend, everybody.